Welcome to the April 25th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Still Waters. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. We are so excited to be together for this hour of worship. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that is the pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite you, members and guests alike, if you could take this, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us any updated contact information. This would be very helpful. Send it down so everybody has a chance to sign it on your pew. Then we do ask that you send it back to where it got started this morning. That would be very helpful for us. We do ask members, if you see a guest on your pew, take this opportunity to find their name and introduce yourself at the end of the service. We do ask, once it gets back to the very first person who filled out the pew pad this morning, if you could, when it gets back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used, that would be helpful as our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Let's see. David Voss. David. Come on, David. David's got a important announcement for us this morning.
Good morning. It's getting time of the year again to start thinking about the Mountain Outreach Program. This Thursday, the advance team will be leaving for Kentucky at 6 o'clock in the morning to meet the family we're going to build for this summer. Our family this year is a mother with four daughters. This is all the information I have at this moment, but for the ones who went last summer, I'm pretty sure it'd be the same location we'll be building in this summer. And if there's anyone who would like to go with us on the advance team, please contact Barbie Morgan or Wilbur McBride. Thank you.
Thank you, David. For those that don't know, our Mountain Outreach Ministry is something we do every summer. We travel as a church up to the hills of eastern Kentucky, and we build a house in a week. It's an amazing thing that we get to do. And so we appreciate David and Wilbert and Barbie and so many people that put so much work into that. And we look forward to hearing back from the advance team and what they find. I've got an announcement from Beth. SR, her voice is gone, and she wanted me to announce that we're still in need. We're having some new babies born, and that's an exciting thing in our church. But that means we're having to add a class in our worship nursery, so we are needing some additional help with that. If you're able and willing to try that out, we have some of the best kids on the planet, and you would have a great time being with them. You can see Beth or you see myself to help with that. That would be very helpful as we prepare for the new babies that are on the way. Reminder to our for many of you have been asking about our college exam packs. This is where we put together an exam study pack of goodies, store-bought, homemade, all kinds of things, of food to give to our college students throughout the state. We are headed out tomorrow morning to deliver those exam packs. We are needing any supplies that you can provide individually wrapped by this afternoon. We're going to start putting those together about 6 o'clock. We need them here no later than 5 so we can get all that organized. You can leave those in Adult 1, which is the kitchen just below the sanctuary. Pretty much you can leave it anywhere, and it'll probably get down there. But that would be helpful for us, any exam pack stuff that you can provide. Individually wrapped, we'll make about 50 each time, and we get those to all of our college students, both here in the city as well as around the state and elsewhere. So we have a big day next week. It is the Spring Fling, which is our annual event for the entire family. We bring the inflatable games in. We have lots of activities for the family. We're very excited about that. That will start next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and that'll go till 7. And then we have a special event, our barbecue supper, that our youth ministry is sponsoring to raise money for our New York City mission trip this summer. We are needing some help with that. Many of you helped with the chopping of the barbecue. If you're interested in doing that again, we're going to be starting chopping at 2 o'clock, next Sunday, afternoon. So, you can see myself, you can see Bill Butendorp, Charlie Jones, Andrew Osley, any of those to let us know if you want to help out with that. Let's see. We also are in need of barbecue, we need desserts for the barbecue dinner. One of the things that we'd like to do is homemade desserts as part of your ticket. There's a sign-up sheet at the barbecue ticket desk that's just outside Smith Hall. You can buy tickets. You can sign up to help with the desserts. And we appreciate any help that you can provide with those desserts. Speaking of barbecue, I think we have an announcement. It makes me a little nervous. Marcus, come give us an announcement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We must be worthy of this historic hour.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just practicing for like a school speech I have to give.
Why are you doing this?
It's for school.
Well, why don't you stop studying a little bit and let's go get some barbecue made by good old Andrew Osley.
I can use a break.
All right.
What's up there?
Well, Jeff said a lot of the stuff we were supposed to say, but the barbecue is on May the 2nd, next Sunday, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Tickets cost $8 for an adult and kids are $6.
Unless they're under 6, then it's free. And you see these things all around church. It has all the information on it you need. So if you have any questions, you can either talk to one of the youth or see one of these around the church.
And we still need desserts, like Jeff said. So thank you.
Bye. We'll see you there.
Good job, fellas. It is going to be a big day, and we're thankful so many have put a lot of time and effort into preparing, and we're excited about what next Sunday will bring for our church family. So I think that is all the announcements. Anything else? Anything? All right. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You gave us, just a few moments ago, you gave us your name and some information about you. We'd like to give you some information about our church family. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers come back down the aisles now. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this welcome packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor. You'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's happening right now in our church. So we are very blessed by your presence this day, and we pray that God would speak to you in a mighty way through the worship here at College Park. Let us prepare for what God wants to do in us and through us this morning.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He supplies everything I need.
There is no emptiness he cannot fill.
No sickness he can't heal.
For he is the source of life.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
I can rest because he is my security.
I can lie down in peace.
He leads me beside still waters.
As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for him.
He is the living water.
He gives a peace the world cannot give.
He is my peace and my provider.
He restores my soul.
Sometimes I doubt him. Some days I forget him. And still he cares for me.
He guides me in path of righteousness for his name's sake.
He is my direction. He is my guide. He is my light and my salvation. But the greatest mystery is this.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
God is Emmanuel. He is with us.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You comfort me. You are my loving shepherd.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely, goodness
and mercy
shall follow me all the days,
every day.
He will not leave me or forsake me.
He will lead me to his kingdom when I draw my last breath.
His word is true.
He is faithful.
All the days of my life.
As we continue in worship, just a reminder to our children, we're leaving children's celebration during the second hymn. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, as our youth have led us to consider, how mighty you are, and whether it's a good day or the most challenging of days, you stay with us. Your presence is everywhere. Father, remind us this morning that it is only when you are present when we can worship. So, Father, come into this place. Remind us that you are here. And help us to focus on you as we worship. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Our scripture text for this morning includes a passage from the Old Testament as well as a passage from the New Testament. You've already heard, as the girls did a reading based on Psalm 23, you've already heard from Psalm 23 this morning. The sermon will also come from Psalm 23. As I read Psalm 23, consider hearing this anew. Maybe you've heard this psalm 1,000 times. Maybe you've heard it 5 times. But consider hearing this anew. If you'd like to read along, it should be a pew Bible located close to you. But this is Psalm 23 from the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And from the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter of Revelation, beginning at verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, for the blessing of being here this morning and worshiping you as a church family, I give thanks for the opportunity to start a new week by coming and worshiping. I'm thankful. Lord, thank you for the energy that you allow us to have through worship, the way that you boost our spirit, the way that you allow your presence to be felt. Because a lot of times, Lord, on Sunday and the first day of the week, we sure need it. We're carrying a little bit of fatigue and a little bit of baggage from last week. It was a long week. It was a difficult week. We faced many different things, good and bad. Some expected, some unexpected. Most of the time we bring them here with us on Sunday morning, but you find a way, Lord, to lift us up, to sustain us, to encourage us when we come to your house, Lord, and I thank you so much for that. Lord, I don't know how many people are here this morning, but I thank you for how much you care about each one of us, for how much that you love us. You have created us, you have watched over us, and you have committed yourself to us, that you will always be present with us and that you will always love us. And Lord, that is a powerful promise that this morning, as we worship you, we thank you for. Lord, you know our hearts and our minds. You know what we're thinking about this morning. You know what we're struggling with. You know what the praises in our life are right now. You know what the struggles and the needs are. Lord, whatever they are, we know that you are in control. Help us this week to humble ourselves, to be realistic about who we are and what we can control in our own lives, and to be very realistic about who you are and how incredibly powerful and how incredibly merciful and graceful that you are for us, that whatever we have, whatever is on our minds, that you can help us. Lord, help us to understand who we are by understanding who you are and knowing that whatever is in front of us, that you can handle it and that you will handle it, that you're watching over us, that you're loving us every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Lord, as we face these things, help us just to feel a sense of peace, to feel a sense of comfort knowing that you're in control. Help us to turn our burdens over to you and help us to take peace in the comfort that comes from a relationship with you. Help us to seek you this week and whatever may be in front of us. Lord, at the same time as we're dealing with struggles in our own lives, help us to know that the people that are sitting to our left and our right now are also facing things. And that maybe part of what you have in store for us this week is to be an encouragement to them in what they're dealing with, to offer a kind word, to show your love to others, friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers, strangers, that there may be people that cross our path this week that your purpose for us is to do right by them and to share your love with them. Help us not to miss those opportunities to serve you, Lord. Lord, in whatever we do, whether in word or in deed, help us do everything this week in your name, giving praise to you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. As your representatives here on earth, help us to glorify your name by following your lead and taking care of those who are less fortunate and caring for those who are taking your word around the world for us. Lift our generosity even as you lift our spirits, Lord, in this service of worship. Bless the gift, the giver, and the receiver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's not often that we use the 23rd Psalm as a text on Sunday morning, is it? When do we typically hear it? Funerals. Yeah, we do. We hear it a lot at funerals. When else do we hear it? Here at some, I read it quite a bit in the hospital setting. If someone's getting ready to face surgery or someone is looking at the possibility of a loved one going through some pretty serious surgery and you need a word of encouragement, you need a word of hope. You need to know that there's someone that cares about you, that walks with you, that's greater than you are and greater than humanity, if you will. Those are typically the times we think about reading the 23rd Psalm. You know, but it's also interesting that this portion of Scripture, the 23rd Psalm, according to a survey that was done by a Christian magazine, is the most popular passage of Scripture for Christians in America. I don't know about the rest of the world, but I would suspect that it's probably on top two or three, you know, worldwide. But in terms of Americans and why we rate it so highly, if you will, it struck me as a little unusual. Not because in and of itself the passage, there's anything wrong with the passage, but it seems like it's a pretty stark contrast to the way we live our lives. Think about it. You know, American culture is a busy, productive, we're always hurrying around trying to get more things done. It's always about production, production, production. We're active, we're on the go, we're plugged in with iPods, iPads, netbooks, all this stuff so that anywhere we are, it seems like at any moment, we're plugged in. We've either got music playing in our ears or we have a constant stream of information right there at our fingertips that we're constantly working on texting, you know, we communicate constantly, and it seems like we're never quiet. Even on solitary walks, it's interesting, observe people as they walk through the woods or where they walk through trails and everything. Even if they're by themselves, they usually have something plugged up. You know, we can't even walk through nature and hear the sounds of nature. We've got to hear something else playing in our ears. I was reminded of the movie Alice in Wonderland. And you remember the little rabbit in there? Yeah, little rabbit. He's going around. He's singing. It's what? I'm late. I'm late. I'm late for very, very important date. Alice is coming through today. Yeah, she came through in the early service and she came through today. I'm late. I'm late for a very important date. And the image there is it's always about something's always pressing. It's all about haste. We're on our way somewhere to do something really busy. So if we are people who pride ourselves in being busy and active, and I think we do. I think sometimes we wear it like a red badge of courage, don't we? How are you? Well, I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. Like, that's a good thing. But anyway, we pride ourselves in that. And we're constantly going from here and there and accomplishing this, that, and the other. We're people that apparently don't enjoy silence. Why is it that we rank the 23rd Psalm the number one passage of Scripture? Because that is the dichotomy. I mean, it is the opposite of how we live our lives. Maybe that's why we enjoy it so much. Maybe we really don't enjoy our lives as much as we think we do. And it's not until we can stop that we realize, you know, there's something better. There's something better. We've heard the passage read at least a couple times this morning. But consider a few phrases from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A shepherd provides everything for the sheep, right? Provides everything. The sheep could not want for anything. Leads them to where they need to be, provides protection, provides food, provides everything. As a matter of fact, it's such that in the image, the rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why is that? Because the rod was used to protect them physically, to beat off wild animals. That's what the rod was for. The staff was to lead them, to guide them. They had everything they need. As sheep, we have everything we need from our shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Have you ever lied down in green pastures? Have you ever done that? Be careful where you lie down in the pasture. But if you ever lie down in green pastures, this is not a pasture, but it has some good green grass back here. And it kind of, the picture, which, by the way, Charles Edwards, fantastic pictures, photos. These were provided by him that he has made. A wonderful eye for beauty in God's creation. But in the water, and then back here, you see some grass there. I'd like to your eye just takes you right back to that corner where you just want to lie down and relax. Green pastures, what does it provide? It provides security. Seeing the blue sky above you, you can see all around you. You know that the shepherd's going to protect you. So the green grass, the green pasture is ultimate rest. Just kick back and rest in the pasture. No worries. He leads me beside still waters. Utter peace and tranquility. There's so much calm outside that it gives you a sense to soak up all that's inside. Because stillness and quiet are gifts from God. I trust that the image of still waters is one that you're familiar with. With apologies to the rest of the psalm, I'm going to kind of land there this morning. We're going to talk about still waters because still waters to me is what pops in my mind. When I read Paul's writing in Philippians 4:17 where he says, understanding what a peace that passes all understanding is about, that's what comes in my mind. A peace that passes all understanding is captured by still waters, just that ultimate peace. And we know that the peace that passes all understanding is only available through Jesus Christ. Because quiet in and of itself is only quiet. But if the quiet that your soul receives is the stripping away of all the extraneous noise and clutter so that you can hear the still small voice of God speaking grace to you, then quiet is a redemptive gift, right? Still waters is kind of an image for solitude, scripturally, and I think practically. And aloneness that is full and rich and satisfying because it's an aloneness that allows for God. It's a full alone because it invites God to be a part of who we are and where we are. The Hebrew actually is literally, quite literally, waters of rest. We translate still waters, but literally it was waters of rest. And that got me thinking, is the waters at rest, is that the water that's resting in that it's perfectly still? Or is it what happens to us when we go to the waters? Could be both. Both and. So what is it then about the water? What is it about the woods? What is it about wilderness? Have you ever been in a position in your life where at the beach or at a river, at a stream, you were stressed out when you got there, and then just the rhythm of the surf or the rhythm of the water or the babbling of the water over the brook, it was just therapeutic. It was just completely healing. Have you ever been there? I have. There was a place that's still there up in my mom and dad's property that my sister and I named the Minnow. And their property, it's a side of a mountain, but it's actually outlined and bordered by three natural springs. And one of those is a little bit larger than the other, and it evolves into a full-blown little creek that runs down into a larger river at the bottom of the mountain. But there's a place beside that where the mountain laurel kind of grows up over it, and the rhododendron kind of, it forms like a little cove, and then there's this little creek that trickles through there. In times of high stress in my life, I have found healing at that place. But you see lots of photographs of water. And again, you see another one here that has grass that's inviting in the back. But the water, look at the majesty of God's creation. And if you can't gain perspective on how much God loves you and what a beautiful creator God we serve, these are the times with the water and the pastures and the mountains that we're able to discover that. And the thing is, you don't have to go there physically to get the benefit from it. Now, it certainly helps. It really helps if you can't escape and go there physically. But you can go there in your mind. You can go there in your spirit. And it has a healing. It has a cleansing. Has an encouraging effect. Because you see, still waters invite reflection. That's what water does. Have you ever thought about that? When you look at the water, how many people look in the water? You don't go and just stand back from. You go and you look in the water. And what happens when you look in the water? You see things. We've had a couple people already tell us, you've got that picture up there upside down. Actually, it's not. That is how awesome the reflection is here. Actually, the shoreline is right here. And what you see is just the perfect reflection from above. Now, notice this. If this water were rippling, you would have a distorted image here, wouldn't you? But the water is just, as the saying goes, it's just like glass. It's like a mirror. And so what you see is a perfect image of what's reflected in the water. And that's the way it is with us. When the water is so busy and agitated, when we look into it, we get a distorted image. We really don't see accurately who we are. But yet when we look into the still water, we can see ourselves perfectly. And as we see ourselves perfectly, we become more aware of who we are and our relationship with God. The shepherd leads us there. He leads us beside the still waters, whether the waters are literally still or not. And whether we actually physically go there or not, he still leads us there. And that's how the shepherd revives our soul. New life. Because the shepherd has taken me where I need to be at the time that I need to go. The shepherd is reviving me. He's reviving you. He's guiding us down the pathway. And I'm even able to walk, as the psalmist wrote, through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, none of us want to go there. None of us want to go to the valley of the shadow of death, but we can go there knowing that he's by us, that he's leading us there. He's providing everything we need there. He is protecting us as we go there. It's a beautiful image, actually. And Christians have often talked about this whole sheep-shepherd relationship. It's interesting that in the Revelation passage we read, who was the lamb in that passage? Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. So if you ever say, well, he doesn't really understand my perspective. The shepherd leads us. And the image of the sheep and the shepherd. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. How do we do that? How do we go astray? It's pretty easy, actually. In the world that we live in, we get so filled up with ourselves. That's what it's about. That's everything you see around you. It's about you. You need to protect you. It's all about you. In actuality, it's not. When we get so consumed with who we are and the agitation and the confusion and the noise and the clutter and all of that, we need to understand the Good Shepherd, Jesus the risen Christ, wants to call our name, pull us away from that, lead us to still waters, speak tenderly to us about how we're loved and forgiven. That's what he desires for us. And the shepherd moves before us, bidding us to follow. Because sheep, by their very nature, must be led. You can't drive sheep. If you want to know the ultimate in frustration, just try. Sheep, by their nature, are led. Contentment is ours as we are led beside the waters of rest. And our shepherd leads us. Jesus, Lord and Savior, Prince of Peace, Son of God, we need nothing, no one else. He provides all of our needs. He touches us with divine forgiveness. He gives us healing. And in our encounter with him, our very soul comes back to life, is revived. We should have sung Revive Us Again. We have these comments back and forth all week long about what should be the invitation hymn. Because, you know, she wants to know, well, where are you going? I'm not sure yet. I won't know until the special music what the sermon is, let alone where I'm going with it. Revives us. The shepherd gives us new life and revives us. Back in the 70s when I was driving back and forth to Wake Forest, Interstate 40, going across Black Mountain, that was still a new adventure. Truckers all over the East Coast cussed it up and down. I mean, you hear them on CBs, and the language wasn't very eloquent. It was not complimentary of Black Mountain. And the reason for that is because of the steep grade. There are several other places around on the East Coast that are infamous for the steep grade. But it was not uncommon, as I was going back and forth a lot of weekends, I'm still playing in a band in Hendersonville, so I had a lot of trips back and forth on weekends. It was very common that you would see trucks in these runaway truck ramps. Have you ever seen one of those things being pulled out of there? It's quite a sight. And whenever you have these runaway truck ramps, you always have warning about it. Runaway truck ramp, 1 mile. Runaway truck ramp, a half a mile. Runaway truck ramp, just ahead. Hang on, you know. That's almost the image you get there. And you've seen those things. You know how they're constructed. I mean, it's an off-ramp off of the interstate. It's as steep as the terrain will possibly allow it to be because, you know, if you're in a runaway truck, you want to stop as soon as possible. And the sand that's in those ramps is actually in waves like this. And I had an engineer tell me that that is by design because what it does is help the truck to slow down gradually because you don't want it to stop too soon. Otherwise, the load that's behind the cab is going to come right through the cab. Okay, so they're actually a marvel of engineering. And you see them everywhere. If you travel in the mountains much at all, you see these things everywhere. And they're quite well constructed. And they avoid the previous method where a trucker may use your vehicle with you in it to stop if his brakes fail. And there was a lot of that type of stuff happened in Black Mountain, and that's the reason they put those ramps up. And as I thought about that whole image, you know, the quiet waters and how that, you know, you think about a runaway truck ramp, what do they have in common? I think that maybe our worship today is directed toward the many whose brakes have failed this week. And maybe you're just in kind of a runaway path. And maybe coming to worship, maybe hearing the 23rd Psalm, maybe a few minutes of hearing the shepherd's voice in Scripture and prayer will bring us to a stop and introduce us to the stillness and help us to see ourselves more clearly and the Lord more clearly. Because if we'll allow Him to, The Good Shepherd eagerly waits for the opportunity to take our hand and to guide us, to lead us out of the fast lane and towards still waters, into gentle green pastures. And by the still waters, Christ can speak new words to our soul. It's one thing to visit the quiet waters. It's another thing to live there. I suspect that not many of us will be able to escape to a local monastery or a convent to live. That's a calling for some. But most of us kind of continue and will continue to live as we do. But I'm aware of the shaping power of the Word that we hear in this assembly every Sunday, the forming power of God's gracious forgiveness that's announced to us through His Word and through the songs that are sung and the prayers that are lifted up, and the encouraging power that comes by just being together, being community, loving and encouraging one another, seeing Christ in each other, and speaking a word of peace. That's wonderfully encouraging to our soul. I also know that the risen Christ seeks to dwell richly in our hearts and is not limited to those who live full time in a retreat setting. So that should be a word of comfort to us. Maybe the stillness that we seek is right here, right now, in this time of worship. And this week, when our brakes are failing, we can recall this experience. We can recall the time that we've had to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Let the sheep remind you of the still waters. Seeing it in each other's eyes, let that remind you of the still waters. And may we point each other to the shepherd, the risen Christ who draws us into His presence. May you have the good sense that when He calls your name, to listen. Listen to His voice as He gently calls your name in love. God's peace to you. Amen. Let's pray silently together. Gracious Father, we pray that we would hear Your voice through the clutter, through the noise, through the agitation of our culture, of our lives, of our minds. Allow us to hear Your voice as You speak words of calm and peace, comfort, guidance, and strength and courage. We pray that our souls would be made refreshed, revived, renewed as we hear words of power and forgiveness, grace and mercy from You. Father, we love You because You loved us first. We love others because You love us. May we draw hope and peace from that love. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. We're going to sing in just a minute. And as we sing, I pray that your heart would be filled, not just by the words that you're singing, but by the Spirit that you feel being poured into you. New life, breath, pneuma, as God pours His presence, His Spirit into you. So as we sing, if you don't know that presence of Christ, I'd love to share with you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll be standing here, and you're welcome to come here, and I'll be glad to talk with you. If you'd rather not come here this morning, call me this week, because I'd love to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who loves you so much. If you're here and maybe your life, you are a believer, but your life has become so cluttered, and this morning maybe perspective has been given back to you. Certainly, you can give a word of thanks where you are and continue to pray for encouragement there. If you'd like to come to the altar, you're welcome to do so. Whatever it is that you need to say to God and have Him say to you, I pray that you will use this time to make that happen. If you're here and you're a believer and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship and be a member of College Park, there's many ways that that can happen. I'll be glad to share with you how that can happen. If you'd like to come and ask me about that, I'd be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever it is, I invite you to hear God's voice even as you sing His praises. Would you stand with me and sing? Stand for our benediction. Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day. Father, we thank you for the spirit that encourages us so that as we leave from this place, we will have the recall of the time that we've spent here together, the time worshiping you. Guide us this week. Give us your strength and your courage and your peace. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.